See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
That's Ben Mendelsohn to you guys.
Who's Ben Mendelsohn?
Cab driver to Uber driver thought I looked like.
The actor. Oh, God, yeah.
That was a long time ago, Mark.
Google that one, ladies and gentlemen, and see if you think that Mark looks like Ben Mendelsohn.
Mark's like Ben Mendelsohn.
She was hitting on me. She was
every
like,
woman you encountered was hitting on you. It's embarrassing to be around you.
For numerous reasons.
He looked
like an actor. And
like
I was
the creepy stuff he was saying to the cabbie on the way home that night.
What was I saying to the cab?
The guy goes, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Mark's trying to get the cabbie to take him all the way out to where he lives. And he offers a tip. And the guy said, okay, I like that. And Mark goes, well, I like you. And he glanced at him like, I don't know if I want to be alone in the car with this guy. Jesus, Mark.
I got a question about that, though. He made you ride in the back seat on the way home, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We didn't even say a word.
You didn't even hold hands? Okay.
No, it was fine. And it was like, it cost $80. That was it. And I tipped him $60, and it was perfect. And then I realized I didn't have my keys.
I don't know that I would call that perfect. You realize you could have taken $140 and gone across the street to the Hotel Indigo and just bought your own room.
Why didn't you just tell me that?
Because I didn't think of it until later.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I could have had a nice breakfast with you guys and Vincent DeSanti. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Well, we probably wouldn't have done it if you'd been there, but.
Oh,
and you could have. You would have been able to get your keys.
Fuck. It's like Vincent you're against likes me.
You're Vincent, against ever, me.
Everyone
Vincent
liked,
liked
you, Mark.
Me. Vincent liked me a lot. When he saw me, he gave me the biggest hug.
Yeah.
Because he thought you were Ben Mendelsohn.
Exactly.
Like, oh, is that Ben Mendelsohn?
It's Ben Mendelsohn.
Hey, Ben.
She was totally hitting on me. She thought I was hot. She was like, that actor. And then Matt was going, oh, yeah. Oh, the actor Jamie Farr from Matt. That broke me. That defeated me. I was like, what the fuck? And then Joe started naming off the ugly actors. And oh, God. And that was just the beginning of the day.
Peter Boyle.
Yeah, that was just the beginning. Yeah.
Susan Boyle.
Peter Boyle. Peter Boyle.
Yeah, Peter Boyle. What the fuck? Like, how did that even pop in your head?
I don't know.
Just witty, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Betty White.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, she was a dish back in the day. I would have done her.
She's still a dish.
Yeah. That doesn't narrow it down much.
In my memory, she's still a dish.
Yeah. No, I meant
a dish served cold, Mark.
The women that Mark would do is not a short list.
Here's a question. What Golden Girl would you pick to sleep with?
Ooh.
Right?
Probably Blanche. One. It's gotta be Blanche.
Yeah,
wouldn't be Maud.
I guess Blanche. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maud.
Probably Estelle Getty.
No.
The mom.
No.
She was probably hot like before electricity.
She was the youngest out of all of them. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did know that.
Good thing we're hosting a podcast about the Golden Girls and Mark's dating life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great show.
Which actually is titled the same thing.
The Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls. It's a show and Mark's dating life.
Thank you for being a friend. What a great song, by the way.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, that's like one of the all-time greatest like beginning songs for a sitcom. That and Growing Pains.
Yeah. I would put Perfect Strangers up there against
Perfect
any of them.
Strangers is amazing. Yeah, Perfect Strangers is
come on,
awesome.
Welcome Back Hotter. Come on.
No. Oh yeah. Actually, the Wonder Woman theme song is funky as all get out.
Pretty good. Well, SWAT was all time.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I don't remember SWAT. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barney Miller. No, Barney Miller sucked.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Taxi. You know what was a horrible one? Taxi was horrible. I just started watching Taxi, actually.
It's a great show, but it was a melancholy theme song.
Yeah, yeah.
Night
and
Court.
It was really boring.
Night Court.
Oh, it was okay.
Good show.
Good show.
Night Court.
This is exactly what all of our new listeners were expecting us to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
All three of them.
Hey, Joe, what they were expecting to know is, what did you watch recently?
Well, Matt, I watched two things that didn't correspond with our assignment. One of them was quite educational. It was called Hans Zimmer, Hollywood Rebel, and he certainly is. This is a documentary that was on Netflix about the life and times of Hans Zimmer and how he came into being one of the world's most well-known and renowned music composers. And I just astounded that he was able to produce the sounds that he is without any actual real long formal musical training. He started out trying to take piano, didn't stick, but it's like he was born to play with synthesizers and computers, and the sounds that this guy can make are just absolutely magical. If anybody is a fan of Hans Zimmer or just a fan of musical scores and want to get a nice peek behind the scenes, I highly recommend this. And as I said, it's on Netflix. Then this is a hard pill to swallow. I watched The Coffee Table. Which
that's on my list. That's
I had to rent. It's disturbing. It's one of those movies where you think there's some things that are taboo. Nope. They walk right into it. And it's I don't want to say it's gory because it's not. Everything that happens is off screen, but the psychological ramifications for what happens in this movie are just horrific. Your stomach's in knots watching this, and it just, the knots keep getting tighter and tighter. It's only like an hour and 22 minutes long, but just the first 20 minutes is actually kind of funny. This young couple who just had a baby are trying to buy this coffee table for their new apartment. But once they bring it home, everything that happens from that point on is just hard to watch. I loved it. It's in my top echelon of movies for this year because of the mental pictures it gives you and the emotional response it evokes. So if you can stomach it, which, like I said, it's not gory. It's not like you're watching something horrific. You're experiencing the aftermath of something and you know what's going on the whole time. But other people don't, and you're trying to figure out how this is going to resolve. So this is one of those great movies. This will be probably in my top five by the end of the year.
Yeah, I'd heard. It's funny because I'd heard about it, and that you're supposed to go in cold and all of that, And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch it this weekend because I was behind on your picks, and I've just been busy, and we had a very busy weekend going to the Ren Fair and all that. And so I knew I wasn't going to be watching. So I texted, say, hey, if one of you guys gets a chance, you might want to check out The Coffee Table, because I've heard a few times now that it's really good and crazy. And Joe just happened to you just started watching it, I think, when
yeah,
I texted.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes into it when I got the text. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's definitely one I intend to check out. So what else?
That was it. That was it for me.
Mark, how about anything for you?
I just started Dahmer on Netflix, the series.
The series, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on episode 2. Evan Peters is great in this. I did a little research. Yeah. I guess him doing this part really messed him up mentally. Like, it took him a long time to get over doing this part. I could see why. Was he nominated for anything for this show?
I would imagine for Golden Globe and Emmy or something, I would imagine, but I don't know.
Yeah, God, it's really well done, really creepy. I love how the timeline's going a little bit back and forth and whatnot. So yeah, I really like it. That's all I'm really watching. And what's that one film that's coming out next week? The POV version of The Killer. What is it called? It's coming out next week.
Oh, in a Violent Nature. Yeah, we're going to go see that next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got to see that opening night. I'm so excited about that film. Golly, yeah, man. I've been seeing on TikTok nonstop of this one kill. I'm seeing reactions of these big horror influencers on TikTok watching this one kill, and their reactions is great, you know, and you can hear what's going on. It's like a sickly wet kill.
And it's supposed to be one really gnarly kill.
Yeah. I think that's the one they were watching, and their reactions. And I follow a couple of horror influencers on TikTok, and you know, it doesn't seem like much, you know, surprises them or whatever. But their reactions was pretty genuine, and yeah, they were like, okay, if this is where we're going, then they're all in. So very excited about it.
Cool.
What about you, Matt?
Let's see. Did we talk about Low Lifes last time?
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You did, yes.
Yeah, okay. Then I guess the only things I watched some of the, because the Chicago Horror Film Festival did open up viewings of a bunch of the shorts from the festival for anybody who has a ticket, and they sent us the link. So I watched some of them, and I do want to talk about a couple. Unfortunately, The Kindness of Strangers, which is the one that Joe and I really, really loved, and was probably my favorite thing I saw there, that was not available. They never, so the filmmakers could either opt in or opt out of the online show viewing. And they apparently must have said they don't want it to be shown online. So I think they're still in the midst of festivals, and they're probably, you know, they're probably doing pretty well in the festivals. But I really loved that one. But there was a couple others that I really enjoyed too. I watched one called The Pencil, which I don't know when. I don't know when any of these are going to be officially made available to the general public. But if you did get a ticket to the Chicago Horror Film Festival, they are available to you. And I, as far as I know, they're still available right now. But I don't know how much longer they'll be available. So
the tickets, you could buy.
If you have a ticket, they sent you a link in your email to watch some of, if the filmmakers approved, you could watch their movie online. They have a special website.
But if you haven't, some of our listeners didn't buy the ticket, can they still buy a ticket and watch these films or no?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think you had to have been at the festival and bought the ticket there. As far as I know, I suppose they could message the festival and see if they could buy something or get a link. But The Pencil was really good, and it was about a girl who's an artist. She's out painting a landscape someplace. I'm not sure. I think it might be in China or someplace in Asia. I don't remember what country it's from. but she finds a pencil, and it turns out to be the kind of thing where whatever you draw happens. So, of course, a bunch of good things happen, but then some not so good things happen. So it's really interesting and very well done. And I thought that the ending was a nice short. I think it was only maybe 5 minutes, something like that. It wasn't very, oh no, it's 11 minutes, but it was really well done and it seemed really quick. So I really enjoyed that. Another one we watched, Werewolf Margarita is available on there. I still haven't watched The Spaghetti Man, but that is available on there as well. So that's one I want to check out. Did you watch it, Joe?
I did watch it. It was, I think, the only one that I really had a passion to make sure that I saw the full story of it. And it was worth it. I'm glad I did watch it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it. We watched the tail at like the last third of it, I think. And we were like, oh, we got to watch that. So, but I definitely need to check that out if it's still available.
If you think that watching the beginning of it, the part that we missed, will piece everything together and make sense, you're wrong. It's just a goofy, fun show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Another one is called Arrow's World, I think is the name of it. And that, it was sort of an animated one. That was pretty good. Body. There was one called Body. I enjoyed that. It was about a toy that starts interacting with this couple. It was kind of fun. It was more of a comedy horror. It was pretty funny. And
I noticed the Black Recat wasn't on there, and also Carrots for Conrad. Neither of those were on there.
I'm not sure why they. You had the option of opting out of it. Yeah, so, and then one called Gone by Midnight. I really liked that one a lot. So there's definitely if you did. Oh, also Night Feeding, another great one, and Night Hag was pretty good. So I enjoyed all those. If you get a chance, that I would write those down. And maybe check them out. I imagine that almost all of these will be available on YouTube at some point. But I didn't see a single one that I thought, oh, why was that there? Like every short that I saw was there was something interesting about it. And they were just short enough that even if they weren't that well done, it wasn't a huge time commitment. So,
well, congratulations, Matt, for winning an award.
Yeah, we received.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did we talk about this the last time, or did you find out?
Nope. Okay, no, we found out. Yeah, we found out the day after this our last episode came out. So we've won the Director's Choice Award. We were one of six movies to be given this award out of the 250 plus movies that were in this festival. So it's a huge honor. And these six movies were chosen by the director of the festival, C.J. Vecchio, I think is his name. And he sent me a really, really nice letter saying how much he enjoyed it and how much our movie like spoke to his own childhood fears. And it was a really, it was just a nice, lovely email he sent me. So thank you so much to CJ and to the Chicago Horror Film Festival. Cause I was shocked. I didn't realize it. I think I was over at my mother-in-law's house. We were having Mother's Day and Jimmy calls me. And so I was like, what's going on? And he said, did you see that we're up for another award? And, I didn't even realize there was going to be another award. So, and then a couple days later, we found out that we were one of the six they picked. So it was really nice. Very, very, very nice. And we also were just an official selection, we're a quarter finalist for the Santa Barbara International Movie Awards. So we just found that out. And we should be hearing in a couple weeks. I'm very excited about this one because this one will be playing here in L.A. At the Midsummer Scream Convention. We submitted to them. So hopefully we hear in a couple weeks that they're going to be showing our movie there. So
just a dream and a thought, and look at you now, Matt.
I know. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool for a little movie we just made over a weekend. Not bad. So And then the only other thing I want to talk about that I saw, it's not really horror, but there's a lot of horror connections to it. So I do want to mention it because there's a lot of people who are in horror movies. So including Richard Brake, who's amazing in this, and Barbara Crampton, Sam Huntington. But it's called The Last Stop in Yuma County. And this is, it's a very Quentin Tarantino-esque film. And it's a single location movie. It's in a diner. It's not technically horror, but it definitely, it has some of the elements, I suppose. And it's about a couple bank robbers. Well, it's more about other people, but there was a couple bank robbers who wind up in the middle of nowhere in Yuma County. I think it's Arizona or maybe it might be East. I'm not sure if Yuma is Arizona or if it's in California, but it's out there in the desert. And everybody gets stuck in this gas station, and it's the only last gas station for like 100 miles, and there's no gas in the station. The truck hasn't made it there yet. And so there's all these disparate characters, including a couple bank robbers, and it's very Quentin Tarantino-esque. So if you like that kind of crime thriller, that's very, you know, kind of Tarantino dialogue and setups, I really enjoyed it. So I guess that is it for what I've seen recently. So we are on to Joe's pick. So Joe, what's your pick, and lead us through it?
Hang on. Before Joe starts, I just want to
I haven't even started and I'm getting interrupted.
I'm not interrupting you.
I know, you're totally
interrupted. I totally did not interrupt. I said it before we even said anything.
Hold on. That's not interrupting at all now.
No, it's not. I just want to say warning.
Yes, Mark.
The following episode might have me say something stupid because I'm stupid sometimes, and I say words before my brain processes what I'm saying. And we're going into a topic that is sensitive, and I just want to apologize ahead of time. Man and Joe has nothing to do with what I say. I just want to apologize ahead of time if I say something stupid. Okay.
Well, the good news, Matt, is that we can edit the episode.
Or actually, Matt, I was going to suggest we need to splice that bit out and put that disclaimer at the beginning of every one of our episodes.
Yeah. I just want to warn you, I might say something stupid.
Say something stupid.
But this is a sensitive topic, and I'm nervous. I'm nervous, you know. I drank a lot of coffee today.
Mark, the fact that you're aware of your own lack of filter is a good sign that you'll try to
I'm
going to
try, guys.
Time. If you're not, don't worry. Cousin Matt will save you in the editing process. So,
okay.
So Joe.
Our listeners don't even know what we're talking about yet.
No. Go ahead, Joe.
So this topic is R&R, and that does not stand for rest and relaxation. It does not stand for rum and Rohypnol. It stands for rape and revenge. And there's a third R that's coming later. But I am a huge fan of seeing bad people get what they deserve. And these are five movies that illustrate that quite well, in my opinion. So we're going to start at the top of the list with 2010's I Saw the Devil. This is a Korean film. You can, if you haven't watched this already, it's on Tubi, Pluto, Peacock, and Plex. This is directed by Kim Ji-woon, and it's starring Choi Min-sik, who played Dae-soo in one of our other previous episodes. We reviewed the original Old Boy, and he was Dae-soo in that. This film is about a secret agent who exacts revenge on serial killer, but he does it more of like a catch-and-release style. He's tracking... His wife was taken from him because of this serial killer, and he makes it his mission to track this guy down and let him go, and track him down and let him go. So it was a bit of an interesting twist on this one. I absolutely adored this one, so I'm going to hand it off to Mark and let him open his mouth and put his foot in it.
yeah, I'm really going to try not to. Korean Films does it again. Korean Films, I think, is doing horror films, just films in general, better than Americans, what America is doing. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen a bad Korean film yet that any of you guys have recommended. I bought this. It's for 98 cents on Amazon. My God. It's like, why not just get it? Because it's great. It's phenomenal. Here's my problem with the film, though. It's a revenge rape horror flick, or shall I say film. My problem is the fiancé detective should have killed the rapist murderer with the huge rock at one time. But he didn't. And then you have more innocent women dying and people dying. And so I understand that this film is so good. It's a rape and revenge film, but turns its backside and reveals a horrific monster. And there are two monsters in this film. It's the fiancé and the rapist. The fiancé becomes the monster also. And that's like what I really find like fascinating about this film. The cinematography, absolutely phenomenal. There's great humor in it. Like Who Broke Your Balls? You know, it's the very beginning. It's really like tense is when, you know, she's in the car. She's got a flat tire. The guy comes up, starts smashing her head in, and starts dragging her, you know, through the snow. And I just like leaned back in my couch. And I knew I was in for a great ride, and it just delivered, absolutely delivered. And then when you find her in the bag and she's still alive, and then you find out that she's pregnant, this film just ramps up so immediately, and it's just so well acted. It's just great. But yeah, it's great. It's great. I love this film. I really have like no problems with this film. It's not long enough for me. I wanted this film to keep going, just to keep going.
It was like 2.5 hours.
I wanted it to keep going. I wanted it to go to 3.5. That'd be fine with me. And I think they could have done that even. The human cannibalisms to this film, it was just crazy. Just the creepiness of it, you know, at the dinner table. That one actor, I mean, that was great in itself. The action was just a chef's kiss. But Joe, I loved it. I love Korean films. I love for somebody to pick a Korean film that's actually bad and tell me about it so I can like watch it. I'm sure there's like they're out there, but I mean, we're like, how many Korean films have we seen? It's that you guys are picked, and they're
over top 10, notch. I'm sure.
Top notch. It's like 5 out of 5 cuts. It doesn't miss. It doesn't miss. These Korean filmmakers just know what they're doing, and it's perfect. And I love it.
All right. Matt, did you love it as much as Mark did?
No, I didn't.
What fuck? Are you serious? How did you not like this film? And I know, okay, yeah.
Let him you're tell not even us,
letting
Mark.
Me. Why are you not letting me talk?
I'm sorry.
The question wasn't whether I liked the movie. The question was whether I liked it as much as you did. I didn't like it as much as you did. I think it was an hour too long.
God. And, all right, I'm gonna mute myself.
Thank you.
That's how many years has he been on the show, and he never thought of that?
7.
But
it's
I do.
Years.
I think
it's
that,
3 years.
It feels like 10 sometimes.
It's only like 75 episodes, Matt.
All right, go ahead, mute yourself.
Okay.
So no, I think it was very, very well made. The camera work, obviously, you know, your lizard brain thrills to this kind of violence and action. I didn't think there's a whole lot under it. I thought it was way too long for what it is. And it felt repetitive to me. It felt like, and I get that. I guess that's the point. But it is repetitive because he makes it repetitive, but then it's still repetitive. Like the fact that it's intentionally repetitive doesn't mean that that lets it off the hook of being repetitive. And I didn't think that I knew that there was, you know, there was something that was obviously going to go wrong with this guy's plan. And I thought that the thing that went wrong with it was kind of stupid, that he had this thing in his anus that, or in his belly, I guess at the time that he could hear the conversations of the guy and he could tell where he's going. And then they have a conversation right in front of him while he's passed out. Well, does he still have the pill in his belly? You know, I thought that was kind of a dumb way to that twist, even though, you know, they had to get to that twist because it couldn't. Obviously, it's not going to be just him beating up on the guy for 2.5 hours. I would have been there for that, certainly. But I do think it was just a little, well, at least a half hour too long. I think this would have been really tight, maybe an hour 45. I think it just went on a little bit too long. I do think that it does a little disservice to the female victims. They're just sort of set up as eye candy that to get killed. And I didn't feel like they were, it was all about the two men. Mark, can you stop making faces? If you want to, you'll have a chance, but it's hard to concentrate when you're just so constantly sitting over there going, huh?
Scouring.
What do you want me to do? I'm actually listening to you.
When you're talking, I didn't agree with most of what you said or much of what you said. And I just sat here like, okay. I don't have to react to everything.
I'm sorry, man. If I'm passionate about a film and I'm listening to you because I actually like you know value you know your opinion. So like, I'm
so just sit here passive face.
If I'm a little animated, I apologize. I'll turn the camera off if that's what you want me to do.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'll turn the camera off every time you talk. Okay, how about that?
In Mark's defense, he's very invested. He spent 98 cents of his own money on this film.
You motherfuckers. All right, that's it.
That's true. Hey, if I had spent 98 cents, I guess I'd be invested. That's true.
Probably would have liked this a lot more, too.
Yeah, as opposed to the $25 you spent on, what was it you bought for 25 bucks? Oh, shit. What was it Joe, didn't you buy something recently that you wound up not liking and you were like, it was a crapshoot? What was that movie?
Oh, yeah, but it was like 10 bucks.
Oh, okay. I thought
I don't remember it.
Okay, never mind. Anyway,
I know what it is. I know what it is.
Jesus Christ.
He bought a movie that he saw on TikTok for a review. He bought a movie.
I understand. That's what we said.
Yes, we understand that, but.
Oh, I don't know. What was it?
I know what it is. He bought a movie.
We've established that.
I think Mark had a bunch of coffee today is what happened. But anyway, I like the movie. I wish it had been about 45 minutes shorter. I do think it went on too long, and I did feel those minutes. I had some qualms about the victims. I felt like they were just sort of it wasn't I don't know. It felt a little cartoonish at times, but I guess that's sort of the point, or not the point, but that's just the style of filmmaking, I suppose. And it looks beautiful. The camera work in this is just fantastic. That one scene in the car when they're fighting in that car is like it's a virtuoso kind of camera acrobatics or something, you know. It was crazy. Overall, I did like it. So I give it 3.5 cuts. That's a good review, Mark. I didn't love it as much as Mark. And that's fine. There's nothing. I just feel I would have probably given it a much better. Or I would probably gone up if it had been just a bit shorter. That's all.
Joe, how much did you love it?
So that now you can get some nods and smiles from Mark on the camera.
Well, hang on. Just to answer the hard-hitting question that everybody's dying to know, it was Midnight Peep Show was the movie that I saw on TikTok, and it was like $3 more to buy it. than it was to rent it. So yeah. So
Midnight Peep Show. Why did you watch that? What was that? It was just one that came up.
Yeah, I heard it on TikTok. It was new this year, and I figured, oh, it'll go to my 2024 list. So
yeah, yeah.
Not making that mistake again. Anyway, I am somewhere in between Mark and you. As far as this film goes, it's a different car scene. You were talking about the car scene. Matt, you were talking about the car scene at the beginning where she gets abducted, right? With the visual acrobatics. Are you talking about the taxi scene?
The taxi scene when he realizes he's just been picked up by a couple guys just like him.
That's the part that I don't want to say I had an issue. Well, I guess I did have an issue with it. I was confused as all get out. I didn't understand that it came out of left field. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, there's a scene where the serial killer is sort of stranded and he needs to get a ride and he's kind of in the middle of nowhere and a cab pulls up. And he thinks it's odd enough that there's a cab driver, but who cares? And he gets in. There's a cab driver. He sits in the front seat, and there's another guy in the back seat. And as they're driving along, the two passengers are starting to act a little odd. And then he sort of realizes that they killed the original cab driver, took over his cab, and are looking to abduct more people. So now I've got three bad guys in a car that are in this amazing fight scene while the car is still driving. And I'm rooting for the bad guy, which I guess they put that in there to make you more attached to him as a character.
The worst out of those three guys, you're rooting for the worst of the worst.
Unless he's just like them.
Who could be worse than him?
No, I meant unless they're just like him. Like they were out there doing the same thing he's doing. They were running around looking for victims as well.
Yeah. And I loved the ending of this film, which we obviously can't talk about because I don't want to give this away. It had a great, very satisfying ending. How the killer is pretty much face to face with his son and his parents. And at the end of this film. And I think that when our main character, the secret agent guy, when he's walking away and it's finally all over and he breaks down into tears, I think that's them trying to convey to us that he realizes everything he's done. He realizes that because of this cat and mouse game that he's been playing with the guy that killed his wife, there's collateral damage and he just feels horrible about the entire thing. So I thought it was a touching ending, but anyway, I absolutely love this film. Lots of other people do. I've heard nothing but good praise about it, even from Matt. And that's pretty much it. We okay to move on, or are you going to flip out, Mark?
No. I just want to say at the end of the film, I think he starts crying because now that he's finally dead, it's basically him realizing all that, he had that feeling, he's dead now. He could have done that a long time ago. And I think the realization of all these other people dying because his acts of revenge and his selfishness for his revenge only, and all these other innocent people died, I think he was crying over that. I think he was crying. He's going, it's finally over. And then he's realizing all these other people suffered because of his revenge. And that's what I got out.
I think also he probably just realized he was in a movie that was an hour too long.
Jesus Christ.
No, I think he actually probably was like, after all this, I really don't feel any better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a both, kind of scenario. Yeah.
Not as cathartic as he had hoped.
Right. Yeah. But it's not like he was going to jump up and down. He was just, it was all about revenge and just feeling.
Yeah, I was really hoping that the last scene would have been him jumping in the air with his fist up and like freeze frame.
That oh, yeah, like Breakfast Club?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey. Okay, we're going to move to the next one, which is 2020's Promising Young Woman. This was directed by Emerald Fennell, who was a writer on Saltburn, and starring Carey Mulligan, Bo Burnham, Alison Brie, Jennifer Coolidge. There's several very well-known actors that were in this one. This film, I would classify it as a dark comedy. And it is about this woman, Cassie, who she's wickedly smart, tantalizingly cunning, and she's living a double life. And she's had a friend that she lost in the past, and she's seeking revenge on all these men that ruined her friend's life. And basically what she does is every night she's gorgeous and she gets dressed up and she finds herself at these bars and she acts like she's completely drunk waiting for these businessmen nowadays, I guess, to pick her up and try to take her home and have their way with her. And that's when tables are turned. And I'll let Matt start with this one.
Mark turns off his camera. I love this movie. I saw it a few years ago when it first came to streaming, and I just love this thing. Carey Mulligan, of course, she's fantastic in it, and I think this really kind of was her big breakout performance, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, I knew, and any Whovians know her as Sally Sparrow from the episode called Blink, which is one of the great episodes of television from Doctor Who. And she's great in this. Bo Burnham, who I don't know what it is, but I'm not a big fan of his comedy. I've seen some of his skits and things, and I don't know. I'm missing something maybe, but have you listened to any of his comedy or watched any of his comedy?
I haven't. I've seen him in other things. I can't exactly place which ones, but I was so happy that he got his comeuppance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I did not care for him in the least. He is just like the ultimate cheeseball.
Yeah. I have seen his comedy, and I love his comedy. He's done some really cool things. I first saw this movie that he did. It's called Inside on Netflix. Went out when COVID was going on, and he basically was in his apartment for a little over a year, and he just was writing songs and singing songs and doing comedy. And it's genius. It's absolutely genius.
Yeah, that's what I saw and I didn't care for. But
fantastic.
Alison Brie has a part in it. She's always kind of plays the same character though. And then there was somebody else I wanted to say as well, but anyway, there's a guy, I can never remember his name, but he plays one of the jerks, and he was on The New Girl, that TV show, but I don't remember that actor's name.
Schmidt. Though.
It's Schmidt. Yeah. I don't know if it was Adam or no, Max Greenfield. That's who it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is really great. And I feel like she is a very broken woman. And I think that there's a tragic element to this. It is, I agree, it's a dark comedy, but it's a bit of a tragedy too, in that she's really obsessed with giving these men their comeuppance and giving them, either scaring them into stopping. The first guy, did she kill him?
I don't.
The first at the beginning, because she comes out with blood on her.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
he
didn't. He didn't kill him because she met his friend, the black guy. He's going, oh, Jerry. Jerry told me about how crazy you are.
Yeah, I don't know. But she had blood on her when she's walking on this.
Yeah. Sam Richardson is his friend. And when they get, I love his fedora and that whole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to order an Uber now. It's too expensive. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I was a little confused at this time because I was like, wait a minute, she's got blood on her. Did she kill that guy? Because she didn't kill anybody else. But Christopher Mintz Plasse is great in it too. And he's underutilized. I wish they'd see him more. His brother was
otherwise known as McLovin.
McLovin, right.
Yeah.
And his brother Matt Mintz Plasse was my assistant at the school I used to work at. And I'm still in touch with him, but they really nice guys. It was nice to see him in something, and I thought he was really good in that part. Even though he's kind of a nerd, he's still got that male thing going on where he's trying to take advantage of this girl. But then the comeuppance at the end of this, I don't know. Do you want to talk about the end of this or not?
I don't know. It was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw the devil, the end, and that was 14 years ago.
Right. But that one definitely is one I think, you know, people should see, you know, because it's,
yeah, go ahead. We're going to go ahead. We'll spoil it. If you haven't seen it, but you want to, then fast forward a bit.
Well, jump ahead a little bit. I don't even need to spoil it. I thought that the way the ending transpires with her revenge, cause this is rape and revenge. So, you know, it's not spoiling to say that she has a revenge plan. I thought that her revenge plan played out really well. And I loved the song at the end, Angel in the Morning. I thought that was perfect. It was a perfect juxtaposition with what was happening and seeing these guys, you know, you wish that it had been a happier ending maybe, but at the same time, it's almost perfect because ultimately, even with her revenge on this guy, she seemed like the kind of person that was really never going to be happy. And that the idea of being in a relationship, she was just too broken for that. So I like this one a lot. I think it's probably my favorite of the bunch, maybe. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think it's up there anyway. It's a really good one.
All right. Yeah. Mark, you can turn your camera back on.
Yeah. First time director, she knocks it out of the park. But there are some certain tones where I was confused at what I was watching. Am I watching a thriller, a comedy, a drama, a romantic comedy, or is it all in one? Maybe. This is the first time I've seen Bo Burnham act in a film before. I think he was great. I thought he was his personality was magnetic. I thought it was very funny. When he basically found out that, well, when he says, "I think I'm falling in love with you," and he's like lying in bed with Carrie Mulligan, and she says, "I think I'm falling in love with you again too." He was so excited. He's going, "I'm going to buy you a bicycle," and I just started laughing out loud. And it was kind of like it's like this guy is just like the perfect guy, and then some things unfold and. Is he the perfect guy? I think this film is great. Carrie Mulligan, absolutely stunning, especially in that nurse outfit. Oh my goodness. I thought the writing was brilliant. I loved Jennifer Coolidge, just seeing her. And the father, he was from Starship Troopers.
He's also from Shawshank Redemption. His name's Clancy yes. Brown. He also does the voice of Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob.
Thank you. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. No, I never really watched the show, but I didn't know that. It's a great film. It's a great film.
I want to point out...
That was a debacle.
I want to point out at the ending, without spoiling anything, my only wish was that the video that she had uncovered was going to be sent to everyone at the wedding and everyone in the hospital.
Yeah.
I would have preferred that, but the plan that she does execute and does it well is satisfactory. Mm-hmm. So
I agree because I'd only seen it at whatever, 4 or 5 years, 4 years ago, I guess, and 3 years, whatever. And I thought, when that came up, I was like, did she send the video or not? And I agree. I wish that had happened, but
yeah. Two other things I want to point out real quick. Gentleman by the name of Benjamin Keoghan is the cinematographer, and I just want to point out that I think he did excellent work. There's a couple of those scenes where his framing was excellent. There's that restaurant scene where she's with Alison Brie, and the way Cassandra is positioned in frame with these light fixtures behind her, and there's only one red one right above her head and all the rest are black, I thought was cool. And then when she's working in the coffee shop, there is a cameo that's kind of on the wall and she's framed in it perfectly. Anyway, I just thought that was great. And the one number one thing that I hated about this movie, the only one little thing, and it was the Paris Hilton song with the dating montage. I could have done without that entirely. So, but I understand why it was in there. It was done very tongue in cheek. I just not a big fan of those tropes.
I feel like Bo Burnham actually had a little influence in that scene because that's kind of his comedy.
That's him entirely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It didn't work out. And why was it Paris Hilton? Out of all the songs, you have millions and thousands of songs to do, and you're going to do the
millions and thousands. Yeah. Okay. We done with this one? We're going to go.
Yep.
To the Nightingale. 2018's The Nightingale, which you can watch on Hulu and Canopy. This is directed by Jennifer Kent, who also directed The Babadook, and starring Aisling Francoiso. I don't know how to pronounce this girl's last name, but
you did better.
She
than
was
I
also
would.
In. She was also in Stop Motion. She was in Last Voyage of the Demeter, and she was with Lynn Stark or Aelin Stark in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's got a resume as long as my arm.
Which Stark was she?
Lynn or Aelin, something like that.
Oh. I don't remember her in that, but yeah.
She was in Game of Thrones. Trust me. Oh. Cool. This film is set in 1825, and it's about Claire, who's a young Irish convict woman. And she chases a British officer through the rugged Tasmanian wilderness, bent on revenge for a terrible act of violence that he committed against her and her family. On the way, she enlists the services of an Aboriginal tracker named Billy, who is also marked by trauma from his own violence-filled past. So, who's up? Matt, what did you think of this?
This is another one. I had seen this one some years ago on Hulu. It's been on Hulu for quite some time, and it's just so funny because you get on Hulu and there aren't a lot of movies like this on Hulu, because I just picture the number of people who started watching this because it popped up on their For You on Hulu or whatever, and then finding themselves in the middle of something that is very dark and very disturbing. And when I saw this previously, I believe I talked about it a few years ago when I watched it on here. And I don't think I really went into much detail, but because it was really, it's a hard watch. It's very difficult. And I kind of said, that's one I don't think I'll ever watch again. And of course Joe picks it. So I did, I did skim a bit just because it's so hard to watch. And there were some scenes I just didn't want to watch again. It's including that big scene, the big gang rape kind of thing, in the house with the husband and the baby and all that. That was a really, really hard to watch. And it's sort of, although I think this is a better made movie than I Saw the Devil, I don't know if I'd say a better made movie, but it's definitely a deeper film and it's trying to do things in a more realistic way. I Saw the Devil is sort of more action oriented. And this is definitely more cerebral and emotional in its undertones, but it's so hard to watch and it's so grim and bleak. It's a tough watch. And for 2.5 hours, this is really difficult. And I have a very similar complaint about this film, is that I felt at times like it was almost not glorifying, but it was so dwelling on this, the horrors of this world. And I get it, you know, the British were terrible in their colonization of Australia, and the way that they treated the native people was abominable. But it's not one that is fun to sit through at all. And I do feel like it kind of went on a bit long for my taste. Having said that, I thought whatever her name is, Aisling Franciosi, I don't know if that's how she pronounces it or not, but she is spectacular in this film, and you see the pain in her eyes, and even though it is rape revenge, there's more to it than just that. And I thought that the relationship between her and the African American, but the native man,
Aboriginal,
that's right, thank you, the Aboriginal character played by Bekali Ganambar, I think is how you pronounce it, he was terrific, and I loved their relationship. I loved the scenes that were just between the two of them and their conversations. I really enjoyed that a lot. I felt like there were some parts that could have been cut down, and maybe some whole scenes that could have been cut. I felt like it was a little, I don't want to say self-indulgent, but it almost in that way. I thought that it dwelt on a lot of stuff that it didn't need to. And I felt like there were some redundant scenes. I get why Jennifer Kent did that. I think it's really trying to put the audience through the ringer. There's no safe space in this movie, and there's no getting around it. These guys were terrible, terrible to women, to anyone who was not British, and especially to the Aboriginal. So I think this is a great movie. I think it's one that I never want to watch again. But definitely, and it's certainly not revenge in any kind of lighthearted way. There's you can't, even though I agree that that certain characters got their comeuppance, it's not done in a way that feels cathartic at all to me. And so, yeah, there's a moment. There are moments in this where you can, I guess, I don't think there's a moment in this you can cheer, but there's some catharsis there, I suppose, but it doesn't feel, there's nothing that makes you feel like, yes, you know, it's very bleak, very, very bleak. So, but a great movie.
By the way, it's Lyanna Stark is who she played in Game of Thrones, Lyanna. So
I don't remember that character, but yeah, it must have been a smaller one or something. I'm not sure.
Not sure. I don't remember it myself either, but that's just what IMDb says. So yeah. I'm going to actually go next. I agree that this movie is far too long. And I think part of the reason that I didn't mind I Saw the Devil in the length is because there's a lot of continuous action in the film. Mm-hmm. This one is lacking that entirely. So those 2 hours and 16 minutes, you counted every minute of it. And yeah, the rape scenes and the re-raping scenes are very difficult to get through. Mm-hmm. And after that, though, all the tracking and walking through the deserts, or the forest, just seemed to go on, mm-hmm. like you said, forever and ever. One of the things that I note on there, damn, those muzzle loaders take forever to reload. So,
and no kidding.
It's a good thing too. Yeah. So not the most effective weapon out in the wilderness.
No, and you better make that one shot count.
Because, well, actually, one of my notes is I think the butt of that rifle is far more deadly than the other end, because you could do a lot more damage than that one shot that takes forever.
Yeah. I'm surprised that swords weren't used more often in this world, because it just seems like A, these guns aren't that accurate, and B, they take so long to load. If they miss you, you're on them.
Yeah, you might as well be at a safe distance, shoot once, and then throw that muzzle loader down. Because the minute they hear that gunpowder go off, you're seen, you're out in the open, you're completely vulnerable. So it's a terrible weapon. But I also want to point out Sam Claflin, who played Lieutenant Hawkins. you know, he's basically the bad guy, or one of the main bad guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Because I've seen him in other things. He's been in, I think it was Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. He was more of a hero type character. And this one, he's just, you hate him from the minute he's on screen all the way to the bitter end. And I thought he did a tremendous job with it. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, Mark, what'd you think?
Hi. Yeah, I enjoyed this film, but was frustrated with the decisions these characters were making throughout the entire film. These decisions with the husband attacking the Lieutenant Hawkins in the bar, the Lieutenant shooting the Australian Aboriginal woman when her native tribe like showed up. Why did he shoot her? It's like they're just asking for her, and he just went off and shot her. Why did they even take that woman in the first place as hostage? Drove me insane. The old man leading the English to the mountain and then mounting off to them only to get shot. That was a crazy decision. Decisions to make this film 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Like you guys said, this film could have been cut at least 35 minutes. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but it was way too long. I felt like this was like the Gone of the Wind of rape and revenge films. You didn't need to show another rape of the kidnapped Australian woman. I don't know why the director decided to show another rape. It could have been done a different way. You know, just her screaming, you know, the lieutenant, you know, dragging her off into the woods. That could have been enough. I don't think we needed to see another rape and him punching her in the face and whatnot. I didn't think it was necessary. Also the constant trekking through the, you know, the wilderness, the moving, the campfire. It was so repetitive and just could have been cut. It just could have been shot and things revealed a little bit, I think, more clearly and more concise than sometimes when I'm talking. I do love her killing the young soldier. What a great kill that was. I mean, she had this tiny knife. It wasn't just one stab. It was continuous stabbing, and he's still alive, and he's choking on his blood. He's struggling to breathe, and she continues to stab him. It had to have been over like 12 times she stabbed this young soldier that killed this baby. And it was so gratifying to see it. It was, I loved watching it. And then that didn't even kill him. She had to grab the butt of the rifle and start bashing his head in. And it was a great realistic kill. And I appreciated that. And, but yeah, it was just a little bit too long for me. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was the worst rape scene. I mean, all rape scenes are horrible, but it was the worst rape I think we witnessed out of all the five films that we watched, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was brutal, especially, you know, shut that baby up. And then they killed the baby like that. It was just, that was a lot. So I enjoyed it. I don't think I'm ever going to watch this film again, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I do want to point out one thing, and this is just, it's par for the course. It happens to us all the time. But when we watch a movie on these free services, I was watching this on, I don't know, Tubi, I think. And I'm in the middle of the first rape scene. And then all of a sudden, an insurance.
A commercial? Oh my yeah, God.
Right in the middle of it. And then you didn't watch it on Hulu? Like, no.
It happened to me too.
Or actually, no, I did watch it on Hulu, but my Hulu comes with commercials.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I watched it on Tubi, and it happened on Tubi.
Yeah, the middle of a rape scene, and all of a sudden I got to sit through like two or three commercials, and then we cut back to the rape scene again. So,
detergent.
That's, yeah.
Actually, my thing here says it's on AMC Plus. Maybe that's why I
had it on Hulu and Canopy. But
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go to the next film, which is Hard Candy from 2005, which you could have watched on Tubi, Pluto, or Plex. This is directed by David Slade, who also we just reviewed 30 Days a Night from him not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And it's starring, well, back then, she was known as Ellen Page, and Patrick Wilson. And Ellen Page plays a character named Haley, who is a smart, charming teenage girl. And Patrick Wilson plays a character named Jeff, who is a handsome, smooth fashion photographer. And after a internet chat and a coffee shop meetup, the impromptu fashion shoot back at Jeff's place, he thinks he's going to get lucky with a really younger underage girl. And then she's got a bit of a surprise for him. I'm actually going to go first. I think this is my third or fourth time watching this. I was a big fan of it when it came out, because this was one of the first films that, again, you got evil people getting their comeuppance. And I think part of the reason that this movie struck such a chord with me is because I'm, for as much as I hate these deviants, I found myself at one point in the movie rooting for the pedophile, like hoping that he would be able to get free and escape and get out of the torture that he's in. And then you catch yourself, wait a minute, he's the date rapist. He's a pedophile. Why am I rooting for this guy? So it catches you so off guard once the plot lands, and it does an excellent job. I also appreciate the fact that this movie is done with no background music at all whatsoever throughout the entire film. And I've always loved, there's a scene, she plays a little bit of a prank on him that has to do with castration. And it's just, the first time I saw that was terrifying. So I, again, big fan of this film. I think it's something everybody should watch. And Mark, we'll let you go first.
What the fuck does Hard Candy mean, or why is this the title of the film? Do you guys know? Because I didn't catch it.
I mean, I guess she is sort of like candy.
She's sweet, yeah. And oh, I do want to point. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
But and hard. I don't know. Like she's. It's not. I don't know. It's like it's. I don't know.
I do want to point out one more thing. As long as we're on the topic of sweets, there's another villain in this film, and I think it's the guy that was working at the coffee shop during their first encounter. When Patrick Wilson is like wiping chocolate off this little girl's mouth, that guy behind the counter should have been picking up the phone down 911.
Totally.
Like immediately.
Totally should have been like hit in the face, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see something, say something.
Because he knew. He knew.
Everybody could tell. I mean, they're nowhere near close in age.
Oh, exactly.
God. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
I wasn't a fan of this film. I think it has to do with Elliot Page's performance. And I liked her her performance all the way until she drugs Patrick Wilson and he's tied up. And then she turns into this, not a sociopath or, I mean, her acting once it happened where he's tied up, it seems stilted. I wasn't believing her. I wasn't believing her at all. At the beginning, I loved him in it. I loved him in it. But second half, it just didn't fly with me. It just didn't seem believable, his performance. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, when you say his performance, did you mean Ellen/Elliot Page, or did you mean Patrick Willie? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's hard to talk about this because Elliot is, I get it.
Yeah. But that wasn't my biggest problem with it. My biggest problem was how the storyline ending got muddled up and tried to give the heave-ho of let's really try to astonish the viewers with a crazy plot twist. And I think if they picked a different actor for the girl, for the girl character, I think it would have worked better, in my opinion. I hated the ending of this film. You know, the kind of like, oh, and here's a little twist at the end, you know, like a Seven, you know, it's like, oh, you were there and you were photographing. Oh, this is what this person was saying, you know, said, oh, it was you that killed this girl. I didn't buy it. And then when she says, you gotta hang yourself. And then she puts the noose over his head. All he had to do was just grab her. And that would have been it. And, you know, he could have, like, taken care of her. So I had a problem with that. It's like he's so distraught, and then, but he's going to hang himself. But, I mean, there she is, putting the noose. Go ahead. I don't know if he just, you know, broke and snapped and just decided to end his life. I don't know. Yeah, but it was okay. I loved the music in this. I actually watched this on my computer. I had my headphones on, and the music was absolutely just fantastic. And just the sound, and I think I need to like watch more of these films on my computer with the headphones on, because like you could hear the music on the left side and the right side and whatnot, and it just really immersed me more into the film. I thought the music was fantastic in this. But anyways,
I didn't hear a single note of music in this film.
What are you talking about?
I
don't remember any
single
music.
Note of film, yeah, of music in this film.
When they're playing CD music, you didn't hear music?
No, that I did, but I'm talking about mood music, like, or, you know, something in the background with the scene. Like, there's no score to it.
Right. No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, when she's sitting there with the headphones on, yeah, I heard that music. I meant there's no musical score.
Yeah, yeah. When they're playing the music, like, even in the coffee shop and in the house when they're playing music, just, like, hearing the music on, you know, my nice headphones, it really kind of changed the atmosphere and the mood that I was while I was watching the film, and it kind of enhanced my experience. That's all. I'm usually just watching, you know, the film in my living room, and you know, watching on the computer with the headphones. I think I need to do that more. I think it really enhances the experience. That's it.
All right, Matt, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think I am in between you guys on this one. I think I liked it more than Mark, but I see what he's talking about. Especially, I don't think it's necessarily Elliot/Ellen Page's performance as much as the way that character's written at that point. I do feel like that it's almost, she's almost superhuman, the character, in a way. Like, there's something not real about her. And it just becomes, you know, she's almost too maniacal in a way, or cutesy about it. And I wanted to see more of a reason why she is this way, and what, you know, not necessarily, I don't necessarily need to hear her backstory, but that this would not be an easy thing to do to a person. And I think that there needed to be more stakes for her. And in a way, she just became a conduit to his punishment. But I think it is a good movie, you know, and I do think that there are some twists and turns that were interesting enough. I don't think I disliked it as the ending as much as Mark, but I didn't love the ending either. I get why he probably decided to kill himself, but I would have liked to have seen more build up to that. It seemed like he was fighting for his life all this time, and then all of a sudden decides to kill himself at the end. And it could have been just because, you know, he knew that there was no getting out of it now. His girlfriend's there. What's he going to do? How's he going to explain everything that's in the house and all of that? Or obviously, if he killed the girl, if he killed Ellen Page's character, Elliot Page's character, then what do you, you know, how does he explain that? He can't really kill her at that moment. So I get why a character like that would have killed himself at the end, but I wanted to see more of a buildup to that and not just have it be a decision he makes at that in those last couple of minutes. I guess we are spoiling this one now. But it's a hard watch. It's very uncomfortable too. It's a very uncomfortable watch from the beginning, and it's not one that I probably, it's kind of like a lot of these others. I don't think I'll ever want to watch them again, but I think it's well done enough. And I'm always on board to see people getting their comeuppance who deserve it. I think it could have been better, but it was interesting enough. What were you going to say, Joe?
I wanted to point out, well, two things. This movie came out in 2005. I also,
yeah,
it's obviously technology has changed quite a lot since then. But when this first came out and I first saw it, it's really throwing a terror into anybody that's ever chatted with anybody else online, any stranger. And it's like, you know, that's a whole nother level of it. It's like, you know, careful who you're talking to. You never know who's on the other end of that keyboard. So mm-hmm. I always appreciated that too. And again, out of all of these movies, they're all rape and revenge. They're not exactly popcorn films. I wouldn't want to watch any of them again. Right. However, Promising Young Woman, I could see watching that one a few times.
When I saw that was your pick, I didn't mind watching that one again because it's so well done. And it's not like, the rape scene in that is, you know, disturbing, but it's not nothing like the Nightingale was just one after the next. And it wasn't just the rapes. It was the way that the Aboriginal people were being treated and the way that women
and
were
the Irish just,
and the Irish. And yeah, and that's really offensive for Joe.
Thank you.
And Mark too. As somebody who's half British, you know, I could see how we were not the nicest guys.
No, you're not. And now it all explains everything now. The British always on the Irish and Matt on me. No. Yeah. It just generation after generation.
Matt on Mark. Yep.
Matt on Mark action. So good picks, right. Joe.
We're not done.
Easy picks. We're not done. What's the next one? Oh, duh.
We have American Mary.
That's right.
We have the last, the third R that only applies to this film, which was redemption. We were watching 2013's American Mary. The reason it's redemption is because of the directors. This is Jen and Sylvia Sosa, who directed Dead Hooker in a Trunk, which I think we can all agree was a piece of shit movie.
You're welcome.
I figured, all right, I'll give these two girls who have, you know, risen to fame and fortune in the horror realm another chance, and we'll watch American Mary. And American Mary is the allure of easy money sends Mary Mason, a medical student, into the world of underground surgeries, which she ends up leaving more marks on her than her so-called freakish clients. And since Mark seems to be a huge fan of the Sosa twin girls, I'll let Mark go first.
Okay, well, when I picked this film, Dead Hookers in a Trunk, I had no idea about these, you know, these sisters or whatnot. It just sounded like a good premise for prostitutes and hookers. Did I enjoy the film? I did. I did enjoy it because I saw something. I saw them trying, and I saw something. There was something special, a little sparkle going on. Never have seen American Mary until Joe recommended it, and I watched it. And all the way through it, I just had a nice grin on my face going, I was right. This is a good film. I think it is. I would like this concept or storyline to be a series on Cinemax or HBO or any streaming device. I mean, hell, even Tubi. You know, like make this into a series. I feel like if this was a series, the storylines could be endless. I'm a fan of this film. It's sexy, it's intriguing, well acted, great music, and is very tongue in cheek and aware how crazy this film is. And I'm particularly a fan of the lighting of this film. The lighting, all the every shot was, I thought, was fantastic. The club scenes, her apartment. Yeah, the cinematography was great. And these sisters were fantastic. They stayed focused. They went through this whole entire film. What was the name of the lead actress?
Catherine Isabel.
Love her. Love her. Was the acting phenomenal? No, but it fit the film. It fit the film and what, you know, the directors were really trying to do. I thought her acting fit the narrative and the dialogue, and it was, there's a little, God, I don't even know what to compare this film to with like another director. Dang it. I'll get back to it. But I enjoyed the love story between Mary and Billy. Billy, this psychopath club owner, very charismatic, and I love the love story between them. Yeah, I would love it. It reminded me a lot of True Blood in a way, but big fan of this film.
Matt?
Well, my wife would disagree with you on the redemption part because she, as soon as this was over, she goes, that was stupid. I didn't like it that much, but I definitely was. I think it was redemption over Dead Hooker in a Trunk. That's for sure. They had an actual cinematographer probably telling them, no, we need to frame this shot this way and do this way and do that this way. But they, you know, it was definitely way more polished than I was expecting. That's for sure. And the editing, the look of it, was good. Catherine Isabel, I did like her. The her professor, what's that guy, Professor Grant, I thought was horrible. Oh my God, that guy's terrible. Whew, he was bad.
For a second I thought we were gonna watch a 50 Shades of Grey.
I know, it was, oh, he was terrible actor. If she's in school, why is she needing to make student loan payments? I didn't get that. Like, even if she's going back to school, like, they pause the payments while you're in school. So I don't understand why that was part of it. Why does the vet office have a mask for humans? And then, yeah, good Lord, Dr. Grant is a terrible actor. But I kind of stopped taking notes after that because it was enjoyable-ish. I think I still do think that there was some pacing that could have been picked up. I think they could, I don't necessarily think they could have cut 15, 20 minutes off, but I think they could have tightened it up a little bit. There were some scenes that I thought weren't necessary and some scenes that probably could have been edited down a bit. But I do agree that Catherine Isabel was really good. And I thought that she helped to elevate this story a bit. I kind of liked the guy who owned the strip club. I thought he was pretty good.
Charismatic. My gosh.
I thought he was a pretty good actor. And I thought their relationship was interesting. The Saska twins, it was okay. Their part in this was fine, I guess. It was, I'm imagining that they do have fans, I believe. And so, but there's a lot of Saskas in this movie, by the way. Or there were more than just them. There was Marius Saska, Agnes Saska. And I think there was one other. But you could see hints of their, of, I don't want to say hints of, well, there were hints of their dialogue, hints of their storytelling. Even though they did have probably producers keeping them, you know, focused, and probably the cinematographer was probably helping them find ways to frame shots and stuff like that. You do see some of their writing come through, and there were parts of it. There were some scenes and some dialogue that kind of reminded me of Dead Hooker in a Trunk a little bit. But overall, this was just okay. It was definitely a step up from Dead Hooker in a Trunk. And it was a good sign that they are capable of doing more than just that kind of thing. Although I'm not sure. I know they've directed I don't know, about 10 movies at least. So it'd be interesting. I don't know if I want to do a Sasuke marathon.
We should do an episode.
Oh boy. Yeah,
I don't know. Keep in mind Mark's pick is next.
Oh no, I shouldn't have even brought that up.
We should do
an episode. I just want to point out two things. I disagree with both of you guys. I didn't think Catherine Isabel did well at all. I have a note that if Mary's direction was to be vacant and expressionless throughout the entire film, then she nailed it. Because she doesn't really have a high or a low. She's just so monotone throughout most of it. Nothing really affects her except when the first night when she goes and cries in the shower in full lingerie. And I also can't figure out why she's... she is at the beginning of the film in a tight miniskirt dress and high heels as she's suturing a chicken for practice. It didn't make any sense to me. And speaking of the twins, I was watching their scene where they were talking back and forth to each other when they were sitting across from Mary at the table. And a lot of their dialogue seemed like ADR'd.
No, it wasn't just those scenes. There were a lot of scenes in this movie where it felt like the dialogue was ADR'd. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the last film of the Rape and Revenge pick, and I'm all done.
All right. Well, a little smattering of applause for Joe on his pick.
Can I say that I was actually really impressed? I don't think I've seen any of these films that Joe picked. And I was really quite surprised on how he twisted it and made these films a little bit not easier to watch. But I was expecting, you know, I Spit on Your Grave kind of like films and, you know, really raunchy. These were really thought-provoking films that Joe picked. And I really appreciate that, Joe. I really enjoyed watching these films.
Thanks. I didn't want to do the low-hanging fruit of I Spit on Your Grave, but I will gladly save that for R&R Part 2.
All right, so our next episode is going to be Mark's pick. So I know Mark has announced a week or so ago that he's got a pick all lined up, and he's very excited about it. Well, not to everyone, but to our little text group, he said. So, Mark, what do you got for us?
Well, I texted on the CineScare chat group. I was going, I got my pick. It's a beauty. And but then here I am now, and I'm thinking, oh, I probably fucked up again. We're gonna
Disney films.
Oh, I wish. Close. I thought, how do you guys like babies? Do you like babies?
I don't know.
Like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not other people's babies.
Yeah, I like mine. I don't like other people's babies.
Baby fish mouth.
Yeah, I think I'd rather
baby fish mouth sweep the nation.
Yes, sir. That's my baby.
No, sir. Don't mean maybe.
Don't mean maybe.
So we're doing baby horror, and
baby whores.
Baby whores.
Okay.
Baby horrors, you know, baby horror movies.
All right.
Okay.
Quit fucking with me, Matt. God
just
damn.
Made a little joke.
All right.
And
all right.
First film is.
So we're going to do
Baby Geniuses.
That is a horror film with Scott Baio.
Yeah.
God knows how do I even know that film? So we're gonna do horror movies. Involving babies, okay? So the first one is going to be a 2009 directed by Paul Solette and streaming on Tubi. It's called Grace. Third film from the great mind of Dean Arnold.
Hang on. You just said what? Third film. You've announced one. How is this the third film?
Oh, that's right.
Do I need to get Nesbitowski to count to two for you?
Brian!
I wanted to save something, so I went to three. God damn it. Okay. So
one,
so,
two, five. No, three, five. Seven. Three.
Three.
It's three, motherfucker. My second pick from the great mind of Dean Arcutz. The next pick is the 1977 film Demon Seed. You can watch this on Plex. My third film is going to be Splice, 2009, starring Adrian Brody and Sarah Polley, directed by Vincenzino Natali, who also directed Cube, that I believe Matt is not a fan of, Cube. Unfortunately, you're going to have to rent this on Amazon. Oh, Joe didn't like Cube. Damn. Well, sorry, Joe.
No, it was me.
Oh, it was Matt.
We both hated it.
Yeah, I think we both didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully you're going to like Splice, because I think it's a fantastic film.
I'm sure I'll love it.
Have you seen it, Joe?
No.
Oh, great. Number four pick is from 1992. We visit The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, starring Rebecca De Mori, directed by the wonderful Curtis Hanson, who also went off and directed the brilliant film L.A. Confidential. You can watch that on Tubi. And then finally, what all prompted this topic is the film I watched. It's crazy. I loved it. It's the 1973 horror film called The Baby, directed by Ted Post, who also directed Hang 'Em High, Magnum Force, and Beneath the Planet of the Apes. And you can watch this on Plex. It's called The Baby. Huh. And this is what prompted this whole topic, because I saw this film and I loved it, and I said, I need Joe and Matt to watch it. When did you watch it? I watched it last week.
I feel like I saw this when I was a kid, maybe, or a long time ago. Sounds familiar.
I think I've seen Grace and The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, and that's it.
Mm. Hand That Rocks the Cradle and maybe Baby, but I don't remember now.
Yeah, The Baby is hands down, it's a holy shit movie. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
You heard it here first. It's a shit movie.
It's a shit
it's not.
Show.
God, what an episode. God.
All right. Well, those
Just
are
wait
some
till
movies.
Next time.
Wait till you see what we've got next in store for you.
No bumpers. No bumpers.
Were there no bumpers?
We do have There's a warning no now, a prefix warning.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. That could be the bumper, actually, the warning. Of course, it comes at the end.
Yeah. What you're about to hear. What?
What you're about We're to all hear. Done. You probably, we should have warned you.
What you've already heard.
Okay. Well, and actually, Joe or Mark, you had no, you had no creepy things or misstatements or anything like that.
I was being very, 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 very careful.
That's very good. Very good.
Very, very careful.
Sensitive now watch topic. The baby episode. Watch out.
Watch out. You're off. Mark hates kids.
I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go. All this pent up energy.
There's your bumper. I'm going to let go.
No. Let go. No. No.
All right. Well, that'll be a good episode in 2 weeks, and we are coming up on June, if that means anything to anyone. Actually, it'll be in June, our next episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we're getting up to episode 100, our last episode of Sinister.
And boy, do we have something in store for you.
Do we ever? And I don't remember a goddamn thing about
no
it.
We have no idea what we're going to do yet. Yep.
We have not come up with any ideas for our 100th episode.
It's our last episode, so get ready.
We may just skip it and go right to 101.
Yeah. we couldn't handle the pressure, so we're jumping to one on one. It's kind of like those
done.
All right. So go to CineScareHorror.com and check out our merchandise. Joe took the time. In fact, right now, and I don't know, through Memorial Day weekend, actually, this is perfect. I got an email that all of our t-shirts, the standard t-shirts, are $13. Come on, people. Get 13? Yourself two or three. Yeah, they're on sale for $13. We don't control these sales either. The website that we go through to design the shirts or whatever, they come up with these deals. So there's a Memorial Day weekend sale this weekend. And I think it's starting now. So whatever. Well, when this episode comes out, it'll be on $13 t-shirts. And everything else, I believe, is 40% off. So you can get hoodies for 40% or for some kind of discount. You can get hoodies for way less than normal price. So now is the time. If you are frugal,
$13. Now is the time.
Yeah,
$13. That's cheaper than McDonald's. The kids will love
them when they find them in their Memorial Day baskets on Memorial Day morning. Yeah,
it's true.
It's
cheaper than McDonald's, guys. Come on.
Yeah. And also, well, this weekend is the opening of in a violent nature, and I know I'm super excited. We're all super excited about that movie, so I'm going to go see it. And so you might, since our next episode is going to come out before we will have seen that movie, you'll have to wait 2 weeks to hear what we say about it. But not if you follow us on Facebook and the Facebook group. Go to the CineScare Horror Movie Fans group or follow CineScare, the page, and we will give you hints, at least, about how much
I'm
we loved it.
I'm
going to
spoil everything. Everything.
Mark is going to give 100% spoilers.
Mark is going to stream live during the show itself.
I will. I fucking will, and I'm going to put it on CineScare fan page, and Robert Kyle could appreciate it, since Robert Kyle wants us to spoil everything. And so, yeah. I'm just
and Mark does whatever Robert Kyle says, not what Joe wants to say, but whenever if Robert Kyle says it, Mark's going to do it.
Spoil everything.
Please join us on Facebook, because our Facebook group is alive and well and doing wonderful things. So check us out, Facebook Horror Fans, CineScare Horror Fans, and in the group, and our page there is CineScare. So we will see. Did you have another?
Don't forget TikTok.
Oh, and TikTok. Follow our TikTok as well. I've been lax on that, but follow our TikTok. We've got videos there too. And also be on the lookout for our movie, maybe coming to a festival near you. So until next time, we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
I'm afraid to talk now.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
What is this?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
The following episode might have me say something stupid because I'm stupid sometimes and I say words before my brain processes what I'm saying. No! No! No!